Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? Welcome to Timothy High Show. Shout out to everybody for listening and tuning in today. I'm waiting on the artist by the name of Saigon to come on the show. So we're going to talk with him about his upcoming, his new album, and any other upcoming things that he has working on, and about his career and things like that. In the meantime, I'm going to jump into my music while we wait on the artist to arrive. We're going to kick things off with Mr. Brian McKnight, entitled Back at One. And I'll be right back.
Undeniable that we should be together. Unbelievable how I used to say that I'd forever. The basis you need to know, if you don't know just how I feel, then let me show you now that I'm for real. If all things in time, time will reveal. Yeah. One, you're like a dream come true. Two, just wanna be with you. Three, girl, it's plain to see that you're the only one for me. And four, repeat steps one through three. In love with me, if ever I believe my work is done, then I'll start back at one. Yeah. So incredible the way.
Hello?
Hello, is this Timothy Hodge?
Yes.
Timothy, this is Tanya from Amalgam Digital. I have Saigon on the line. Are you ready for him?
Sure.
Okay, great. All right, Saigon, we have Timothy Hodge from blogtalkradio.com on the line.
Saigon?
What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm out hanging in there, man. How you been doing?
I've been good, man. I've been great, man. God is good, you know. God is good. I got a new daughter. I got a, you know.
Yeah, I heard about you. I heard about
you. So I'm happy. One at a time.
Yeah. I heard about the daughter, man. Congratulations on that, man. What did you name her?
Rain Dior. Her name is Rain, R-A-Y-N-E, Rain Dior. Her name.
Congratulations on that, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
Saigon, if you could do me a favor, if you could introduce yourself to the listeners and let them know who they are. Let them know who you are if they're not familiar with you, man.
Is this radio?
Huh?
Is it radio?
Yes.
They don't be warm. They don't tell me. Yo, I don't know, man. It's your boy Saigon, the Y'all Father. They know, they should know the voice by now. They really do the hip-hop thing. But if not, then you're going to know the voice from now on. I promise that.
I thought
this was a regular thing. This is a radio dog?
Yeah, we're online radio, man.
Okay,
you good? You good though? You good?
What's
though.
Your site?
Good.
What's the site?
It's blogtalkradio.com.
Blog Talk Radio,
huh?
Blogtalkradio.com. Remember that? I got to throw that in the memory. Blogtalkradio.com. What up? It's your boy Saigon, the Y'all Father, man. Let them ask questions. Let the people ask questions, man. You live right now?
Yeah, I'm live, man.
I want to know what the people want to. I know you got your questions, but I want to know what the people want to know, because I want to know what the fuck the people, how the people feel right now.
No problem, man. I want to ask you, I have another question here. What have you been working on, man?
What I've been working on? Being a better person. Being a better man in life, you know what I'm saying? Being productive, being influential, being all that shit. As far as music-wise, I've been working on Greatest Story Never Told Part 2. That's it. You know, I got the first one produced by Just Blaze. It's in the cut. It's in the vault. And, you know, when the people get it there, you can't rush greatness, you know what I'm saying? When the people get it, they'll get it. And I got Warning Shots 2 coming out October 6th. Anybody who got the first Warning Shots, they know what it's about. They know it's classic material. We probably sold more mixtapes than anybody aside from 50 Cent for selling mixtapes. And, you know, we just doing what we do.
If I could take you back for a minute, how did you actually get started with this, the rap music game? How did you actually come about?
With rap music, period?
Yeah, your career period. How did it actually come about? How did you get started and everything?
Growing up in New York City, you know what I'm saying? Growing up in New York City in the early 80s, and I'm born in the 70s, late 70s. That was the only thing to be about. It was either hip-hop or nothing, like. Where we come from, like hip hop is like
the lyrics are
fucking school. It's like going to school. You know what I'm saying? Hip hop is where we come from. Hip hop is everything to us. You know what I'm saying? If you wasn't down with breakdancing or graffiti or rapping, you didn't exist in the early 80s. You know what I'm saying? So it's part of my life. It ain't a game to me. It ain't the hip hop game or the rap game or what it became when the white people grabbed a hold of it. But what it was to us was a way of life, almost like religion.
Musically, who are some of your influences?
My influences?
Yeah, musically.
And hip hop.
Music in general, you know, I mean, I know you're hip-hop, but, you know, sometimes we love all the artists that are in
different
genres.
Well, music, I think, like, I got a 10-month-old daughter, right, and she dances to beats. I could do a beatbox, and she bops to it, and she dances to it. But as far as personally, my musical influences was probably the Temptations. Mm-hmm. I can't even say that. Or Gregory Abbott, because my mother... My biggest influence was my mother, so I just, whatever she thought was cool, I thought was cool. So she thought with Gregory Abbott, girl, I wanna shake you down, I can give you all of that shit. She thought that was cool. Temptations and shit, and whatever she thought was cool, I was cool. Once I developed my own mind state when I was about 6-7 years old, I like UTFO, the Fat Boys, you know what I'm saying? Rakim, you know, or legends in the game.
Mm-hmm. Now, I heard you sing a little bit for us, man. Is there an R&B album coming soon?
Huh?
I heard you sing for us a little bit, man. So you think you're going to have an R&B single coming out soon?
Only if you produce it. Only if you produce it and put your name on the front.
No problem.
I'll be like the nigga that sang for Milli Vanilli. I'll sing it, but you gotta put your face on the front.
Don't be surprised if that go platinum either, brother.
It would go probably quadruple right there.
Never know, man.
In this day and age, you might do 4 million.
Fat man. Got the album. The album that you said before. Okay, what is the name of this album? The Not Warning Shots, the other one.
I don't know. You tell me, bro.
I'm trying, my notes is written in Scribble Scrabble. Shouts out to the intern for that.
Do you even know who I am?
Huh?
You know who you're talking to?
Yeah, it's Saigon, right?
I don't know. You tell me.
No, yeah, I know. I'm not that screwed up, man. You know who you are.
Right.
Huh?
You seem a little out of the loop, like you don't really understand what's going on right now.
Nah. I used to say the album before, but I lost it. I remember the one shit I have it written down right here. The other one that you had, and it's supposed to be out October 6th. I have that written in front of me, that, you know, as a release date.
You don't got the name of the album, but you just got...
No, Warning Shots. It's supposed to be the album released October 6th, correct?
Warning Shots 2, part 2.
Right. Right. I have that written down right here. It was another album that you mentioned prior to that one.
Greatest Story Never Told, you mean.
Right. Now, what's going on?
That's my debut album.
Uh-huh.
That's like Warning Shots is actually what it is. It's a warning shot. It's letting you know that, you know, Greatest Story Never Told is coming. So I'm still warning niggas that I still exist. And I'm a terrorist when it comes to music. You know what I'm saying? I'm still a terrorist. So I'm warning you, get the fuck out of my way. Like the same way when a cop says, hey, I'm going to shoot in the air first before I shoot you in the back. That's the warning shot that you know I got a gun. If you keep acting up, the next bullet goes in your heart. That, and that's what warning shots is, you know what I'm saying? It's letting you know that we here to stay, and we got some powerful things for you. But if you want to keep acting like you don't recognize, the next one goes in your heart. Bang, and then you're done for. So proceed.
If I could ask you this question, man, what makes your music different from other hip hop artists out there? Yeah.
My music is different because it has substance in it. You know what I'm saying? It means something. You know, I'm not here trying to make I'm not giving Louis Vuitton a free commercial or Gucci or we call it Ciroc or Hennessy. I'm not here to talk about the popular drink or the popular clothes. I'm talking about some shit you could apply to your life and make your life better. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? I'm not here saying, yo, I make it rain or I got a bunch of singles to throw up in the air. I'm going to go to the club and spend $100 on singles and look like the man. That ain't my plight. My plight is here. I'm here to teach these kids how to have a chance at living in America in 2020. When 2020 comes along and the 10-year-olds are 20, when the kids is 10 now, they 20 then, they could take my music and be able to have a chance to live in America if the planet lasts that long. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't get it, huh?
No, I got it.
You
all over the place, man. I got you, man.
I'm not over the. I'm here, man.
We cool,
I'm
man. We cool.
I've been doing this all day. I'm on point.
Oh man, I got you, man.
Nah, because real talk, like we market hip hop to the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they 13, 14. So I think if hip hop is that influential and it means that much to them, and this is what they follow. We should be telling them more something important about how to dress and how to dance. We should be telling them how to be able to sustain a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, life can't be based. Entertainment should be 15% of your life, not 85%. You know what I'm saying? 85% of your life shouldn't be based around being entertained. That should be a small thing. It's almost like when you go back to the monarchies, when they had monarchies where there was kings and queens. Entertainers were court justice. They were clowns and motherfuckers that would come through for I need to be entertained. If you watch, remember the time, rest in peace, Michael Jackson, right? There's a king and a queen, and Mom, who plays the queen, she says, I am bored. I need some entertainment. And the king goes, okay, let's bring some niggas to entertain you for a few minutes, and then we go back to real life. And, you know, they happen to bring Michael Jackson, who was the world's greatest entertainer. But that's all he was an entertainer. Like, they had a bunch of niggas trying to entertain her. One nigga had fire blowing out of his mouth. One nigga was dancing. Like, this is what, like, this can't be the end-all, be-all of life, entertainment. In America, it happens to be what it is. But, you know, that's why the job market is fucked up, because nobody's educated. There's not really that many people that's educated enough to bring this country to the next level. Because we all entertained by basketball players and singers and dancers.
That is true. You're a big influence on many people today. If I could ask you a question, just well about the country. What do you think? How do you feel first of all about we having a first black president? And how do you feel about what Obama's doing so far? If I could ask that question.
I feel about Obama so far.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like he's what Obama is. He's a great, smart individual, but what he's there for is for to ridicule. He's there for our first black president, first one. He's like a fucking lab rat. You know what I'm saying? So now everybody thought if he makes one little mistake. He gets so many rocks thrown at him, so many stones thrown at him. It's like, I'm talking about how you going to expect him to do his job when he's under so much scrutiny that you can't give him a chance to really do what he could possibly do.
Right.
Because right now it's all about, let's see how this dude does because he's black. You know what I'm saying? Instead of the fact he's just the president, it's almost like they won't even, if he goes to go, he wants to talk to the kids in school, and they go, no, it's a political agenda. Like, he getting more coverage of calling Kanye West a jackass than what he's been doing since he's been in office.
Right.
And it's almost like he's a celebrity more so than the president.
Right, exactly.
Almost like he's a celebrity because when he called Kanye a jackass, that shit was all everywhere. I didn't understand, like, nothing but, oh, the president calls Kanye West a jackass. This is headline news. You know what I'm saying? Why is that headline news? Shit don't make sense. And it's like, this is the CEO, not even the CEO, but he's the officer in chief of the country. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He ain't the chief executive operator. He ain't the CEO, but he's up there. He's a few steps under the CEO. We don't know who the CEO is, but Obama's supposed to be to us. He's supposed to be top dog. So why is the fact he called an entertainer a jackass, so why is this so important to us?
Well, I guess because it came from the president, you know, of the United States.
But so what?
You know.
That's like some, all right, he did something wrong. Oh, he's a jackass. So what? They acting like this man is Jesus Christ, but like he ain't supposed to do no wrong. Fuck out of here. Like, he's a fucking human being. He had an opinion. Everybody shared the same opinion, but the media takes this shit, and this shit outshines everything else he's done so far, what he hasn't done so far, the fact that he called an entertainer a jackass. This is what's wrong with this country. For me, on the outside looking in, this is what's wrong with America. When we got so much, they spend so much time and effort on putting this, we got to do the story. He called them, come on, man. These motherfuckers that save kids every day. These people that devote their whole life to the betterment of the world, but they don't get no media coverage, no love, no nothing. But, you know, it's sad because it becomes all a business. From the magazine writers to the newspaper writers to everybody, they're just trying to keep a job. So it's not about what's important. It's about, okay, what do the people want to hear? So gossip and bullshit supersedes importance in America. And, it's, you know, it is what it is.
Well, it brings revenue into the stations. It brings it into the magazines and stuff, you know. So basically, they put some good. It's just a boring story.
Yo, you're mumbling, brother. I can't hear. What are you saying?
They feel that, I mean, stating something good like Obama gives $10,000 to an organization, that's something boring. They'll just snap that in a newspaper and call it a day. They're not going to just announce that.
That won't even make the first 10 pages of the newspaper. That'll be a small paragraph somewhere in the cut. You have to search for that to find it. But if he comes and winks at a girl and gives her a thumbs up, then that'll be on the front page. And they'd be like, oh, shit, he's cheating on Michelle because he went to her. Like, this is the shit. This is what we up against. We up against you're going to be scrutinized if you're in the public eye for any little thing you do when the importance of when you think about real life and you think about what's going to make the future of this country better, that shit is not important to the media. That shit ain't important. Shit is not important at all, man. It's almost like they always talk about middle class, the middle class. They talk about middle class because that's the heartbeat of America. But what about, like, hip-hop, which is the biggest, most influential thing to ever come out of America, ever, in the history of this country? Hip-hop has been more influential worldwide than anything in America, period. But meanwhile, you know, this shit gets, if it ain't about money, shit is thrown under the rug. If it ain't about how much money this shit generates, they don't talk about how the shit touch cultures all over the world. They don't talk about how motherfuckers in the North Pole is trying to do the new hip hop dance. You know what I'm saying? Or trying to be a part of this shit. This shit is probably more cultural than religion. Hip hop touches more places than religion. Than Christianity and Islam, probably. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Real talk. And that's actual fact. Because I've been all around the world. And when I see this shit, I go, holy shit. Like, I can't believe that all these motherfuckers are this much influenced by some music that was started in the South Bronx under fucked up conditions that niggas was rapping about. Broken glass everywhere. And nonsense. Like, they just don't care. Melly Mel was talking about how fucked up it was living in the Bronx, and this was gave birth to this whole thing that just took over the world. But, mm-hmm. you know, we use it to, you know, sell shit.
If I could ask you a question about the music industry, in general, what do you think about the music industry today? And if there's something you could change about, what would that be?
What I think about the music industry?
Yeah.
I think it's an industry, and it's about making money. It's conducive to Wall Street. Like, at the end of the day, whatever makes money is whatever they're going to push.
Mm.
So it's almost like, it's almost like trying to separate business from personal. Like, it's almost like doing business with your family. The reason why business with your family don't work is because you love them. So if they fuck up, you can't really do much to them because they're also your family. So the music business, to me, I love music. It's good you said that because the two don't even, it's always like an oxymoron.
Mm-hmm.
Business just means money. Music is something, it's just art form. That's almost like if I'm a painter, my paintings ain't selling, I should just stop painting when I do it from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not Basquiat or Van Gogh, I should just not paint. But meanwhile, it took all of them to die for their paintings to really be worth something. So Basquiat would have never known his painting would have went for that much before he died, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say music business, business is business. Business is all about generating capital, generating money. But music comes from your heart. Music is something you really love. So when you put the two together, it is a conflict. You know what I'm saying? Especially with hip-hop, because right now, the business aspects of it know nothing really about hip-hop. They just there to get a check. You know what I'm saying? They did it for a fucking check. So they don't care about what's dope or what's meaningful or what came from this guy's heart. They care about, can I sell this shit? Can I sell it? It's almost like if you was in the perfume industry and I came to you some shit called funk, and I marketed it real good. Like, look, it stinks, but trust me, it's going to sell. I know you're in the perfume business. This is business. I know you really care about the fragrances, but this funk shit, we got the shit come with a skunk tail on the end. Trust me, this marketing scheme is great. And you go, you know what? I'm buying into it. You're going to sell funk. That's how it works. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of artists, if you're an artist that really care about the music, you're going to get fucked up in the game. Probably ain't going to work out for you.
Right. Combining the two together, music and business, when you combine those two together, if that's something you can change about that, what would that be?
I would do it almost like the NBA, you know what I'm saying? Like, you would have to be good enough. Like, the same way you can't be half-assed and make it to the NBA. To make it to the NBA or the MLB or the NFL, you got to be cream of the crop. You know what I'm saying? You can't do one nice play and then you're in the NFL. Oh, hip-hop is the only thing that doesn't require skill. You can make a catchy chorus that goes, hey, put your pants down. Can make some shit like that called pull your pants down and be the hottest shit out.
Right.
No thought, no talent, no nothing. It just was something catchy, and they'll keep playing the radio programming to the people. Anything else, you have to have a certain level of talent. To make the NBA, you got to be able to, you got to practice all day to be able to hit free throws. And again, if you can't hit free throws or do something really good, you're not going to make it there. And that's what hip hop don't have. Hip hop doesn't have no requirements to make it in hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
I would take KRS-One. I would take fucking Chuck D, Grandmaster Caz, Melly Mel, and I would make a board, and they'd have to give a yay or nay to if he could be a professional or not. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would take, and that's what I would do with hip hop and go, yo, is this nigga good enough to consider himself an MC or a rapper? And he have to come and then go in front of the board, and then they yay or nay the nigga. You know what I'm saying? Put Rakim
right.
on there, all the great, even Jay-Z and them niggas could yay and nay a nigga, know what I'm saying? But it couldn't just be like you could be in your house fucking around in your studio and make a song called click your heels, and then we got to see that shit tomorrow on BET. Nah, that wouldn't work out for me.
If I could ask you this another question, I'm going to put it all in one. As an entertainer, what do you like about being an entertainer? What do you enjoy about it?
Huh? You said as an entertainer?
Yeah. What do you enjoy about being an entertainer?
I really don't consider myself an entertainer.
I sum that all up as, you know, I don't know, you're a rapper, you know, that's lyricism, you know, so that's why I just sum it all up.
I prefer rap over entertainer because
entertainment... Okay.
To entertain somebody just means to make them happy or make them feel good. And that's not my whole purpose in doing it. I want to make people think. I want to make people see what's really going on around them. Sometimes you got to show people the harsh reality of life, and that's not very entertaining. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes even through music, you got to show people the harsh realities of the world we live in. That's not entertaining. To know that people die every day, to know that people still smoke crack in 2009, and there's dope fiends who are so dependent on heroin, they can't even think past go. Ain't nothing entertaining about that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to entertain. That's not my job, yo. That's for the clowns and them other niggas. I'm here to tell people the realities of life, even if it is dealing with entertainment. Entertainment is another part of reality, so... You gotta let people know there's a part of time where you deserve to be entertained, but that shouldn't be 90% of your life. That shouldn't be the focal point of your life. You shouldn't wake up to go, oh, how am I gonna be entertained today? That ain't reality, man, especially if you got kids. But that's what's wrong with black people. We teach our kids to play before we teach them to work, and that's why we fail a lot. We give them toys for Christmas, first thing they want when they... Give them toys, let them play. Nah, man, you're supposed to give them little, you're supposed to give them books. Make them read, make them have the best vocabulary they can have so they valedictorian when they go to school, things like that. Not, oh, I got the most toys at my house. You know what I'm saying? That shit's life.
Do you have an ultimate goal in your career?
Yeah. My ultimate goal is to start my own ministry, man. I just want to talk to the babies, man. As long as I'm on earth, I want my voice to be used to talk to the generations under me, especially the kids, man, because kids' minds is like fucking clay. You know what I'm saying? Kids have no idea on what's happening in the real world. They don't have no idea. And sometimes they so... When I see 25-year-olds that still feel like a kid, I understand why. Because they never been shaped and molded to really understand the importance of life. So I feel like while I'm here and I have a voice and people care about my voice, I got to use my voice to try to guide the next generation to come up under me and up under them to make them be like, to make them live out their potential to where their journey through life wasn't as hard as mine. You don't have to go to prison to say I'm a man in the ghetto. Like that became a rite of passage in our hood. Like to be able to say I'm a man. You had to go to jail or shot somebody or did something gangster for a motherfucker to respect you. Why can't you respect the kid who got the college degree, who came home from saying, yo, I got my bachelor's degree. We don't celebrate him. We rather celebrate a nigga that was selling coke or crack or to our own people. It don't make sense. So my job as a man is to change that shit. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm here for. God put me here for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
God didn't put me here to talk about Louis Vuitton or some old white man I don't care about who don't care about me and to glorify... liquor or the new drink or whatever drink is popular in the club, whether it's Cristal or Ace of Spades. God ain't put me in for that. God put me in to be an example for the generation after me.
Right.
Edward, I'm sorry. We're going to have to wrap up soon. If you want to ask your last question.
Okay. So, again, go ahead and give your shout-outs and also give the listeners your the website so they can find more information about you.
Damn, a website. Should stop it. MySpace.com, Saigon the Yard Farmer, or I guess Twitter, if they want to ask a question, or Twitter, the only Saigon. Thought that was kind of clever. I don't know. But, yeah, MySpace, Saigon the Yard Farmer, you know, check out October 6th, Wanna Shops too, you know. And, you know, once again, we just out here doing what we do.
Saigon, I appreciate you, man.
More
thanks.
Movies, man. I'm doing movies and all that, man. More acting, more of that. So, check for your boy. I'll be checking for you.
All right, man. Saigon, I appreciate you much, man. And come back by the show any time, man. All right.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate you too. Thanks for your time, brother.
All right. Thank you so much, Timothy.
No problem.
Hey, Saigon. He's gone.
Hello? 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 Shout out to Saigon coming on the show. Make sure you guys pick up his album. That's due to release pretty soon, October 6th. He also has something in stores right now. You can purchase the copy of his previous album here on the website, at Amazon.com, iTunes.com, pick up a copy of his album, or in your local record store, FYE, Walmart. Go support this young man. He's a brilliant artist, a brilliant rap artist. So shout out to him. We'll jump to some more music and I'll be right back.
It's undeniable that we should be together. It's unbelievable how I used to say that I'd forever. If you don't know just how I feel, then let me show you now that I'm for real. If all things in time, time will reveal. Yeah. One, you're like a dream come true. Two, just wanna be with you. Three, girl, it's plain to see. Then you're the only one for me. And four, repeat steps one through three. Five, make you fall in love with me. If ever I believe my work is done, then I'll start back at one. Yeah, yeah. So incredible the way things work themselves out. And all emotional, once you know what it's all about, hey. And undesirable for us to be apart. Never would have made it very far. Cause you know you've got the keys to my heart. Cause one, you're like a dream come true. Two, just wanna be with you. Three,
shout out to Ryan McKnight for checking back that one. Shout out to Saigon for coming on the show. I appreciate you guys so much. Everybody left at the Saigon. I got my chat room cleaned all up. But nevertheless, I appreciate you for anyway for coming in. Mother knows, of course, sir, in the chat room. Your mother knows now. Much love to you. Once again, guys, Pretty Ricky will be here tonight. Nevertheless, they will be here. All members will be here. It's going to be a crazy show. I can already tell right now it's going to be crazy hanging on all them boys. Nevertheless, Saigon's album is in stores right now. The Warning Shots 2 will be out October 6th. Make sure you go pick that up. Support him. Nevertheless, I'm going to give my input on Lee Charm's listening party. I come back from this shot. I got to tell you guys about that. I was out there last night at the listening party. He's a new artist from Sony. I got to let you guys know how that turned out. And I'm going to have to say what I need to say when I come back from this track, because it was truly a mess. And it didn't make any sense. But, now, a shout out to everybody who showed me so much love. NBC, who showed me so much love last night at the listening party. I love you guys, NBC, so much for blowing it up like that. But nevertheless, we need to let it, because I work hard over here at Blog Talk Radio and don't receive a check at all. Nevertheless, here's Pretty Ricky. As I said, they will be here tonight at 10 p.m. You don't want to miss that show. It's going to be a great, great show. We're going to have a lot of surprise call-ins as well for that show, so you don't want to miss that. That's tonight at 10. Here's Hotline for Pretty Ricky.
About making love.
shout out to Pretty Ricky. As I said, they'll be here tonight at 10 p.m. I'm going to respond to Lee Charm. Listening party last night down in Lower Manhattan. I attended last night. Shout out to some people from Blog Talk Radio for coming out. You know, quite a few people from the Blog Talk family came out to show support to me. So I appreciate you, those radio hosts. And as I said last night, I will show you love back for coming out and supporting me, your boy Timothy Hodge. Nevertheless, I've never seen an album release party that plays three songs from an artist single and then plays everybody else's music. I've never seen that in history. And how you going to put makeup on an artist and it's a dark-ass club with no lights and you're going to dim lights and you're going to put makeup on and you're going to be sweating and dancing. But nevertheless, shout out to the artist. Much success for you, you know, to you and your career. But your team needs to work a little harder on what they've been doing. I should not have been the spotlight of your listening party. You should have been the spotlight of your own listening party. Nevertheless, it was nice. A great turnout. Shout out to Mingo, all you guys for coming in. And, you know, when I invite people to the event, I like for them to come. Shout out to them for coming in, Mingo, all you guys. Chris, for coming out, of course. Shout out to you for coming in, you know, showing me some love. And once again, those people from Blossom Radio that came out, I love you guys so much. I gotta get ready to get up out of here. I'll let you guys be able to be back on at 10 p.m. with Free Ricky. I want to leave you with Whitney Houston. Of course, you know her album, I believe, is damn near gold right now after the Oprah interview. Shout out to that. Nevertheless, Whitney, if people are not around thinking on live, you come on the show. But nevertheless, I still love you, still going to support you because, you know, you're one of my all-time favorites. Her album is in stores now. I look to you. Make sure you guys pick up. It's already gold, and we're trying to push for platinum. Nevertheless, here's one of those days where I love you guys so much. You stay up. You stay strong. I'm out.
TV tonight. I just.